Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who are fascinated by how astrology unfolds in our daily life, in our politics, and in the world around us. This is Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you tonight from Ronan, Montana, and I'm joined by Mark. Are you there?
Hello, it's Mark Woltz calling in from New York City.
Wonderful. And what interesting time it is tonight. We are right on the moon is still very soft and sensitive in Pisces at the moment, conjunct Neptune. And it's been a wobbly sort of day. You know, it's been kind of emotionally out of it for a lot of people that I'm hearing from, where they're drifting and feeling. I know two people who said, I'm taking a mental health day today. But the moon is about to head into Aries as the evening progresses, and, you know, in an hour. And then we'll join tomorrow at the dark of the moon in Aries. On Wednesday night, we have a full solar eclipse, not visible here, visible on the other side of the world. And it will be a solar eclipse and an hour after the solar eclipse, it will be at the very last degree of Aries. The moon goes into Taurus, and overnight the sun goes into Taurus, and they will both square Pluto. So Wednesday is a high point, turning point, end one thing, begin another. If it doesn't hit your chart anywhere, you might not feel it, but if it does hit your chart, you may feel this preparation of a clearing ground and a pivot and a chance to start something new, because on the other side of that clearing ground is that Pisces, you know, the waxing moon in Taurus, fertile energy, really ready to plant new things. So it's kind of exciting, but it's a little formidable. What do you think about this coming eclipse, Mark?
Well, this is one where you say, don't just stand there, do something.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
Aries and the square to Pluto. It means there's no standing at the edge. You got to jump right in, get right in the circle and participate. So think of it as participating.
Mm. That's a beautiful way mm-hmm. to put it. And participating in, you know, and what's also that can feel like it could be a harbinger of a big change, but not quite. It's kind of almost, as Mercury is also coming to conjunct Uranus, which it usually does at least once a year, it's going to be within a degree of that and then hit retrograde on Friday. Already,
yes.
I hear, you know, the computers went down at Wren's College and, you know, things are getting a little strange on the sub-ether. But that Mercury-Uranus conjunction almost happens, then it retrogrades back and then turns direct 3 weeks later. And then in the end of May, you see the Mercury-Uranus conjunction. And then we can feel that a change kicking in. Now, and what do you think about, what would you say about that Mercury-Uranus conjunction?
I always like the Mercury-Uranus conjunction
mm-hmm.
because it really gives us good thoughts. So all kinds of wild things come up. And my advice is usually be ready to jot things down, even things that don't make sense at the moment. Jot it down.
Mm-hmm.
Take a note, and then see what happens to it later on.
Mm.
So,
and
but this is
I've noticed that. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting dance, the retrograde dance for Mercury, because it's come so close to the conjunction, and then
mm-hmm.
right with the eclipse, it's backing away. Just after the eclipse, and so it's part of that eclipse energy, Mercury stationing.
Yep. And at the same time, we're seeing the sun in a very active cycle. It is definitely heating up, more solar flares than expected. It's already got more power than the whole last solar flare cycle. And so it's turning up the volume on all the other aspects, because that's what the sun, what the sun does. It changes the volume control on the other aspects. And there's a beautiful spiral over Alaska, an aurora borealis shaped like a spiral. If you go to spaceweather.com, it's just gorgeous. But at the moment, the there's a series, the sunspot number is 155, and that's often the peak. That was higher than the peak of the last solar flare, and we haven't hit anywhere near the peak yet. So whenever the sun gets really excited, it enlivens our ionosphere around here, makes it hard to see into deep space, but it really echoes the energy here on Earth. And when that it tends to, wind us up. The world is charged with negative ions, and negative ions are actually positive. Positive ions make people sick and tired. Negative ions can charge people up. You see them, you feel them often around ocean waves, which is one reason why they're so relaxing to be around. But those negative ions charged from the solar output can really, wind people up. So, on a bad day, you're seeing accidents and shootings where people just lose it, where they kind of no impulse control. Everything's in Aries, and then you add extra solar energy. On a good day, I think we're going to be seeing more and more political searching for new answers. And, when the sun is very, very quiet, which it was all during the pandemic, and pandemics are traditionally associated with times of low sun activity for centuries now, when it starts to speed up and our immune system picks back up again and, we get a little bit more excited, when it's quiet, it's hard, bad things happen and people go like, oh, that shouldn't have happened. But it's hard to get people out in the streets or calling their senators or taking action. But now it's getting pretty lively. So it'll be interesting to see how these work together. And what else do you see this week that you'd like to comment on? Venus in Gemini is interesting in that sort of sitting out there with no major aspects at the moment. And Mars in Cancer, about 13 degrees. Also with a loose square to Chiron, but Venus and Mars right now aren't really connected to the other planets. What do you think that might be telling us?
I think it's inviting us to use the energy for ourselves and not connect it to others. So, but that's an interesting note, because we're talking about action and taking action, and yet Mars is not connected, Except Mars will connect on Sunday to Pluto by sextile, which is good. That'll allow it. So if you started something, which you're supposed to, with the eclipse, then and the squares to Pluto, then on Sunday you can carry forward, like step two of whatever your plan was. So if you have a plan, take step with the squares to Pluto, and then be ready to follow up with the sextile to Mars.
That sounds good. And it can help us to get the decks cleared before the eclipse tomorrow and the next day when the moon is in Aries and that Mercury is doing, is in that relationship to Mars and the moon is moving into relationship with Mars. That if we can stay centered and keep our hearts open, because it's hard to do sometimes with the sun and moon in Aries, we can move so much into action, we forget to keep it in the heart center. But if we can keep that going and clear the grounds before the eclipse comes. With the eclipse can help catalyze change we want in our lives. So to think change we want, you know, what do we want to shed? What would we like to see released and gathered up next time? And that we can use the eclipse, you know, for good, for ours, to help us make a shift that we've been planning on. How can we help let it go and start anew?
Yeah, it's helpful to think of the eclipse as being a portal that we pass through. And you can shed things on the way through the portal so that what you have and who you are stepping out of the portal going forward is different from the way you came into it. So all this happens around the eclipse.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's not also, remember, it's not an instant in time. The eclipse really gathers up energy for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So a week each side of the eclipse, it's very strong.
And with that eclipse, you know, we often describe it as astrological acupuncture because it lines up all the energy in one place in your chart and pokes. And so notice where in your chart you have 29 degrees of Aries. And think of that as a place where you can create a shift. Now, it says, you know, it can be a good shift, but it unblocks blocked energy. And if you've got, you know, the old adage is if you've got nothing blocked, then there's no problem. If you, if it is blocked, then it will come unblocked in a rather dramatic way, which can be surprising and not necessarily what you wanted. So it's really helpful to be honest with yourself about where the blocked energy is. And does that make sense?
Yeah. It
Great.
Does. So eclipses are an opportunity.
And we may see, though, you know, when energy becomes unblocked in the world, we can see huge amounts, we can see big political shifts. We can see action happen in the world. We can see, you know, a sense of earthquake, you know, like what's shifting. An eclipse will resonate for weeks before it happens and weeks after it happens. So if look for that 29 degrees Aries point and notice what gets catalyzed this week, even though it may not fall into place until after Mercury turns direct. So it's going to be an interesting week. And stay calm, cool, and collected.
Whenever Pluto is involved, there's always a power play. So whether you're watching politics or watching what's going on your block, be alert to power plays and don't get caught in them.
Right. That's a good way of putting it.
Focus on taking action and not on who else is trying to grab power. Let them grab, but don't be within reach.
Wonderful. And so let's take a few callers to see if we can get in a couple of people before the end of this time. Remember to hit 1 to raise your hand for this. And let's try this one. Hello. Hello, it's area code 323-633. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi, I'm thinking about making a move.
Okay.
So I'll give you birth info. It's March 21st, 1960, 2:27 p.m., and it's Long Beach, California.
And where are you thinking, where are you now, and where are you thinking of moving to?
I'm currently in Santa Fe, New Mexico, but thinking of moving to Newport, Tennessee.
Okay, let's see. You have some interesting stuff going on in your chart. How long have you been in Santa Fe?
Almost 3 years.
Right. So you moved in as Pluto was right on your moon, it looks like, just a few years ago. A lot was going on. That was not easy. And at the moment, your progressed moon is in Taurus. It's the top of your chart. And your progressed moon will, within 2 months, conjunct Uranus. So it sure looks like you want to be moving. And Uranus is squaring your natal Uranus exactly.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you're ready to roll.
How does it look for Newport?
That's what I'm pulling up the astrocartography map now. And we could do a relocation chart. And you said it's Newport, Tennessee?
Correct.
Okay. And you've got Mercury. Do you know people there?
No.
Okay.
No. It's about finding a place that's affordable to live. Santa Fe has become completely unaffordable in the last 2 years. And there's a tiny home community there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think
it looks really good. When I look at your astrocartography there, a Mercury on the descendant line goes right near Louisville, Kentucky, and down through the middle of Tennessee and says, these are people you can talk to. These are people you can connect with, and that's good. Where you are in New Mexico is right between a Mars on the descendant and Pluto on the ascendant line. That is not a fun place for you to be. So I would say get yourself out of there ASAP. because being on, it puts Mars right on the descendant, and it can make it, where you're dealing with difficult people and where you tend to feel isolated.
Yeah, I actually have met a lot of people. I know a lot of people, but it's true. Mm-hmm. Where I live, it's a lot of difficult people. I'm surrounded around. It's been a great test for me to keep my mouth shut. I noticed in the chart, that I have a six-house stellium there in Tennessee. I mean, is that okay?
It doesn't bother me. I was just looking at that. It depends a lot. Notice that Mercury is right on your descendant there, right?
Right.
And it when we do a relocation chart, people, we do it. We take a chart for exactly the same time, Greenwich Mean Time, and we move it to the new location. And nothing supersedes the natal chart. Your natal chart will always be your natal chart. But it sees what part of that world gets brought out by being in that location. So when we look at you in Tennessee, it takes that stellium that's in your seventh and puts it in your sixth. But it puts your moon and Saturn into your fifth, which looks very romantic, and it puts Jupiter down in the fourth, where you feel more at home. It gets that Uranus and Pluto out of the first house and puts them in the 12th house. You may feel different from the people around you and feel like you can't be quite so open about being different as you could on the West Coast. But at the same time, it looks like you might find people that it will be helpful for you if you go there to find some sixth house way of creating community. With Venus and Mars and Chiron and Mercury in your sixth house, to find a way of helping people, being involved with them, helping the community, helping small animals, rescue, that your way of connecting with people may be by, how can you be helpful in the community? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And that's kind of one of the appeals, because the communities there, the tiny home communities, are very interactive and helpful. And I like that, as opposed to here, division and separation and conflict.
Right. Right. And okay. And so I think you'll find it very, very different for you. Do you see anything about that chart that you'd like to say?
Yeah, it's something that you're comfortable with, being with a community, and you tune in and you're absorbed, and you absorb the community at the same time. So look for those situations. It sounds like you're finding one, you kind of see.
Okay. Is there a time frame that's good to move?
Soon. I'd say when Mercury turns direct, because your progressed moon will be conjunct Uranus in about 2 months. And you'll want to move. And, you know, you're an Aries. You don't like to dilly-dally once you've made a decision.
Right.
It's
about finances.
Know, right. Pluto is close to your sun now.
Right.
Pluto is close to sextiling your sun. Then it backs off when it goes retrograde. And it'll come to sextile it again next spring. And it feels like you'll be coming back alive and sort of finding yourself. You're about 17 months away from a progressed lunar new moon. So there's a really new chapter coming in for you. And, you know, but it will, like, let this year be a slow turning point. You get there, you get your tiny house, you create roots, make new friends, and then watch yourself really come alive after the next, you know, 17 months.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
I know.
And we'll hang that up. And hello, 213-399. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi, my birth date is 10/29/1971. Born 4:25 a.m. in Torquay, Devon, UK, which is T-O-R.
Okay, wait, where was that? What time was that again? I'm sorry.
4:25 a.m. Sorry, 4:25 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Torquay.
Yeah, Devon, which is in the UK, and it's spelled T-O-R-Q-U-A-Y.
Q-U-A-Y, yep. Good. And in UK.
Thank you. I'm currently living in Los Angeles on my Mars line, where I've lived on and off for about 25 years, and it's like totally manifested like a Mars line. Like, I've had accidents. I work in a man's world doing tech. But I'm actually I'm an artist. I'm an artist and filmmaker. I work with Indigenous people, and so I've had always like a sideline of what's me. But now I've just had enough of everything, and I just want to do my artwork, and I want to find love, and I just. And I'm really not that into moving back to England, but I don't know if anything is going to change for me soon or how I can help that change, really. Thanks.
Well, Saturn just got off your moon in Mars, so I think you're going to be able to find yourself this, you know, in this next year in a way that you couldn't. It looks like you had an extra heavy workload or an extra dire workload over the last... over the last year or so, and are just kind of had enough of it.
Yeah.
With the your progressed moon is in Capricorn, you know, you're not going to hurry out of this, but you know that you need to feel like you're ready to switch into your artistry full time.
Yeah.
That's
I'm always
wonderful.
Just talking
so, Let's see where you belong.
I mean, I belong in places where, because it's hard to always get visas, you know, the places that you're not, you know what I mean? So, I mean, Australia looks best because it's where there's Venus, the Sun, Neptune line. It looks really nice, but it's not easy to move there.
No, but it does look like, you know, I would say it may be another 15 months before you can really leave tech. But you might use tech to relocate, and then from there, shift gears. America doesn't do that much for you in the middle of the country. The East Coast is Uranus and Pluto for you. Mars likes being on the midheaven through L.A., but it's right on the midheaven. You're never out of that energy field of kind of hard-driving people. I can see where it really is, it doesn't work for you.
Yeah.
Or where
also,
it's been successful but exhausting and not...
Yeah, exactly. And the Chiron is in, it, the relocation becomes the 11th house. So I'm always like not making very great friends here. It's like a lonely place, you know.
We don't want that for you. You know, that's I do see where the West Coast, where Australia definitely looks the best with Mercury, Venus, Jupiter on the midheaven, and Saturn on the IC on the Gold Coast of Australia.
Right.
I definitely say that looks like a big improvement over where you are. I'd say, and England doesn't do that much for you either. It puts you back on your Pluto line on the ascendant.
It's awful there.
I'd say, you know, Rio de Janeiro, there are places from Buenos Aires to South America which are not bad for you. But other than that, I would say get thee to Australia. Use your, use your tech jobs to get over there.
Okay. Thank you so
much. And then
much.
Once you're there,
thank you, so
you move into your artistry. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Thank you very much for your help. Have a good evening.
Oh, gladly.
Bye.
Good luck.
Bye.
Bye. And I think that's going to be it for tonight because we're only 3 minutes left. So on these last 3 minutes, Mark, giving them more energy, using that new moon in Aries, even if it's a very last degree of Aries, what would you like to wish them?
Going back to what we started with, which is take action. Don't just stand there. Do something. So don't stand around. Just jump into the middle of it and take your turn and see where it leads.
It's going to be beautiful. And a beautiful piece of how do we take it from here. And for everybody looking at your own chart, where would you like a new beginning? What do you need to help releasing a pattern, releasing a problem, releasing a relationship that's got your heart stuck, to shift that in a graceful way? You have to specialize that, or Pluto, you know, the Uranus transits, I mean, the eclipse transits can just make it disappear. So make it, put it in a good place. I think it would be... I think that's going to be the biggest help. And also to notice the anxiety this week. Sometimes, you know, with Venus and Mars not really, you know, Mars still a little out of bounds, and Venus and Mars not really connecting to the other planets, except the moon when it moves through. It's not easy to stay emotionally grounded. And this coming eclipse can make people anxious, just kind of, you feel the energy resonating with it. So breathe for the world. Work on your own stability. Feel the grounding underneath you. Realize that you might be processing other people's anxiety, and let that go. And this is Heather, and get grounded and take care of yourself. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from Ronan, Montana. And we're saying goodbye. And Mark?
Mark Waltz signing off from New York City. Thanks for listening. And call in next week.
Yes. We look forward to seeing you. Take care and have a good eclipse. Bye.